You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Monday, October 29th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, you can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and we'll deliver the show to your device each morning as it's posted. You'll be able to listen whenever you feel like it, on your commute, at the gym, on a run. It's up to you if you just subscribe to Locked On Jets on iTunes or Spotify. And if you do enjoy the show, please give it a good review in iTunes. We do appreciate it. We are here to recap a loss, a Week 8 loss, as the Jets fall to the Chicago Bears in the Windy City 24-10. It's the Jets' second straight loss. They fall to 3-5 on the 2018 season. And I think that the narrative from this game in the media, and you heard it a little bit on this during the CBS broadcast, is going to be that the Jets were undermanned and they put up a good fight against a clearly superior Bears team. I think that's what you're going to hear a lot of people. You're going to see a lot of people write it. You're going to hear a lot of people talk about that in the media. You certainly heard it again during the CBS broadcast with Nance and Romo. And I got to be honest with you, I come at this from a different perspective. I think this game was winnable for the Jets. I thought it going in. I told you that on Friday's preview show. And watching this game did little to change my mind. I thought this game was there for the taking for the Jets. Now, it's not a horrible loss. It's not the type of loss the game to Denver would have been. You know, I went into that game thinking that this is a game the Jets should win. The Jets were a little, like, the Jets were undermanned. I think the Bears are a better team, but there were still a path to victory for the Jets in this game. And I felt like going in, the path to victory would be Sam making a few plays. You know, it was going to be tough for him to sustain a great performance over the course of four quarters, given what the Jets had on offense today, given what the Jets surrounded him. But I felt like there was a, you know, if he could do enough and the defense could take over and Trubisky was shaky, this game could be won. I felt like there was a path for the Jets to win this game. It did play out that way. The Jets just did not take advantage. Now, the Jets were undermanned. I do think the Bears are a more talented team. But you control what you can control. And I go, you know, there are a couple of places I look. Is first of all, I mean, I don't want to pick on him too much because I know it was a tough hand he was dealt heading into this game just because of the lack of talent on offense. But I just can't come away from this game thinking that Jeremy Bates is doing everything he can to maximize this team's chances of succeeding on offense. I think that all you have to do is compare the set of plays the Jets started the game with the set of plays the Bears started the game with. Now, the Bears have more talent on offense, especially at the skill positions with Inunua and Anderson and Powell out. But this Chicago offense is limited. It's limited by the quarterback. And the Bears were much more able to work around the deficiencies they had at quarterback than the Jets were able to work around the deficiencies they had at the skill positions. And you just look at the way the plays are run. You know, the Bears are coming out and they're, you know, faking a run to one side and throwing a screen the other way. They're running a zone read with a pass option in there. They're running the ball at the middle, but they're also running a fake sweep with the receiver, you know, running in motion. So they're faking the handoff outside, which holds the linebackers in place because they have to account for the fact that the run could go outside. So the linebackers can't hit their holes, which means the back has extra yardage to gain because they can't commit to stopping the downhill run game. You look at that and you compare it with what the Jets are doing, where they're just slamming Crowell into the line twice and giving Sam Darnold third and long. And that's just, you know, that's just not a recipe for success for this team. You know, there's not a lot of creativity. I don't see this team scheming guys open. I don't see this team creating easy plays by design. And that's, you know, that's on the offensive court. I'm not telling you Bates has to go out and turn the Jets into the greatest show on turf with what they've got to work with on offense. But I don't think they're doing everything they can to maximize this team's chances of having success. You know, you think about, you have a rookie back, Trenton Cannon, who in some ways is a little limited. You know, I'm not sure how much you can trust him back there. He's had some fumble issues in preseason, but I think there are ways you can figure out ways to utilize his talents. You know, one of his issues last week was he did a really lousy job in pass protection on one play, almost got Darnold really nailed. So why don't you figure out ways to get him the ball in space? Try and do something to manufacture offense by design, by utilizing the limited playmakers you have. I'm just not seeing it. And Romo was, and I like Tony Romo. I think people who criticize Romo are crazy, because I think Romo is as good of an analyst as I've heard in a long time. The way he calls out plays before they happen, the way he breaks down nuances that other analysts won't go into, even the way he makes fun of his own CBS stuff. I mean, I love the way he made fun of that ridiculous graphic they showed early in the game when they show that Darnold played better in Jets wins than losses, and Romo goes, wow, so when the team wins, the quarterback plays better, and when the team loses, the quarterback plays worse. I love that he made fun of it, because it was just such a, it's what we're all thinking watching at home. So I have nothing against Tony Romo, but Romo was kind of giving Bates credit, because they're saying, well, they're protecting Darnold by running the ball. When you can't run the ball, you're not protecting Darnold, because you're putting him in third and long. You're putting him behind the eight ball. And, I mean, could the Jets throw the ball on first down? I mean, it felt like every first half series, first down in the first half, they were running the ball, which is nothing. I mean, I don't have a problem with trying to establish the run, but at some point, you know, you have to see this isn't working. Add a little variety. You're working a play action. You know, throw the ball. Do something else when it's not working. And again, another issue is the offensive line, where, yeah, they're playing without their backups. They're playing with their backup center. But it's not like the starter has been any better. And the other issue there is that you have guys who just aren't executing, who are making good money. You know, some of your key players on this line aren't executing at a very high level. So, you know, the issues go beyond Bates. You know, you have the dearth of talent currently at the skill positions, and you do have that offensive line kind of struggling. So the issues go beyond Bates. But if you're asking me, is Bates doing everything he can to maximize this offense's chances of success? And that's what you look for in coaching. That's really the key to coaching. The coaches can only do so much. The coaches can only do so much to work around the lack of talent on the offensive side of the football. But the ultimate question for me, for any coach, is, are you maximizing your team's chances of success? And for an offensive coordinator, it comes to, you know, the way you utilize the players you have. It comes down to the design of your plays. And that's, you know, I keep coming back to this. This is the reason I keep complaining about debates, is that I just don't think his plays are as well designed as a lot of the teams the Jets are playing. And you saw some of the plays the Bears were. And I think one criticism I'd have of Mac Nagy, because I've watched a lot of Bears games this year. They've been on national TV a couple times. A couple times they've just been on, and I haven't had anything else to watch, so I've watched their games, is that his first 15 plays, which he scripts, as I understand it, it's his first 15 plays, they're always great. It gets away, and they're very creative with their designs. They have all these sort of misdirections and motions, and he kind of gets away from them. And I wish, you know, if I were him, I'd go back. I'd stay with them, because, again, Bears have an issue there at quarterback. I mean, Trubisky's holding that team back. He made a few plays in the second half, but, I mean, he was missing throws left and right. There were ducks left and right. And I feel like he kind of gets away from the creative designs too early in the games. But I don't see any of them out of the Jets. And I'm sorry, but you're not protecting Sam Darnold if you keep slamming the ball into the line ineffectively. You know, that's not protecting your quarterback is creating easy plays by design, you know, easy throws for him. And, you know, if you can do that, if you do what the Bears do and script your first 15 plays and they're designed that well, it helps your quarterback get into the game, because he gets a little confidence. He starts having success. It's just something I'm not seeing from this offense. And I'm not saying that all the offense's woes are on Jeremy Bates, because, again, I spoke about the offensive line, and we know how many playmakers on this offense. And this is not an offense that was overflowing with playmakers to begin with, but the best guys were all on the shelf in this game. So there were lots of issues on offense, but I just go back to that because there's such a stark contrast between the plays the Bears came out with and the plays the Jets came out with in this game. So, you know, that's just, and this offense was not very good in this game. And I actually thought, you know, I didn't think Sam played poorly. I actually thought Sam made it better than it would have been, because there were a couple of big plays that he made in this game that, I mean, he made something out of nothing. So I think this, as dismal as the results were, this may have been worse without Sam Darnold. And I'm not trying to, you know, I usually don't praise quarterbacks whose stat lines are as ugly as Darnold, but I mean, I think this is a tough game for me to evaluate him just because of how little the Jets gave him in terms of game plan, in terms of scheme, and in terms of surrounding talent in both the skill and the offensive lines. So, you know, not a great day for the offense by any stretch of the imagination. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And if you use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account, you can claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25, LOCKEDON number 2, number 5. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. We're here on Locked On Jets. The Jets fall to the Bears yesterday, 24-10 in Chicago. Jets now 3-5 on the 2018 season. They've lost two in a row, so they're on another losing streak after their three-game losing streak earlier in the year was followed by a two-game winning streak. So the Jets now 3-5 as they face a trip to Miami next week. And what's going to be an important game, because, I mean, you can't have a second three-game losing streak in the season. And we're recapping the game. You know, and I, at the top of the show, I told you what frustrates me is not necessarily that the Jets lost. If the Jets lost and I felt like it was just because the Bears were a better team, you know, the Bears played better in that game, you know, you tip your cap, you lose a tough luck game on a last-second field goal, it's one thing. But this game, the Jets just shot themselves in the foot in this game. You know, you control what you control. You can't control your talent level if you're undermanned going into a game, which the Jets were a little bit. But the Jets just made so many mistakes. I mean, how many? I think it was six pre-snap penalties. Four of them false starts. You know, missing play. The early touchdown the Bears had, where again they bust a coverage with a running back coming out of the backfield, as they did. You know, you may remember week two they did that on a big play against Miami, where, you know, nobody covers the back slipping out of the backfield. Maurice Claiborne can't get off a block. You go to the second half, big third down play. Leonard Williams jumps off sides, another pre-snap penalty. You go to the fourth quarter, and, you know, the Jets score a touchdown to get within seven. They got a real shot there if the defense, and Sam, it feels like Sam's starting to heat up a little. It feels like for the first time all game, Sam's starting to feel comfortable. Defense needs to make a stop. They can't do it. This is just frustrating stuff. It's frustrating because, again, you control what you control. And the Jets did not control what they controlled in this game. And you look at the teams that overachieve in this league, it's relative to talent. And one of the things that they do is they don't beat themselves. They don't make killer mistakes. And you just saw too many of them by the Jets in this game. And again, you can go back to the start. You go back to the early touchdown, which was really the only thing Chicago did on offense of note in the first. They had a decent drive early that led to the missed field goal, but that Bears offense was really struggling. And if you looked at Trubisky's stat line heading to the half, it was pretty bad, but it was also aided by a 70-yard touchdown. And that touchdown was just look, you give credit to the guy for making the Jets pay for their mistake, but another instance where somebody just doesn't know their assignment. And I bet you we'll never find out who blew that assignment, because when there's a bust that bad, it's impossible to tell who's it was. You can only come up with possible suspects and make inferences based on the information you have. You know, try and make some reasonable guess, but you can't tell because it's so bad that it isn't obvious. You know, if somebody gets toasted in coverage, it's one thing. But if you just totally bust the coverage, you'll never find out. And Todd Bowles won't tell us. Todd Bowles will never throw anybody under the bus in public. That's not his way. But it's just frustrating to see this continually happen. I mean, how many busted assignments have we seen this year? And I know everybody has busted assignments. It just seems like there's one that kills the Jets every week, whether it's Gore in week two, whether it's the fiasco we saw in Jacksonville. It's stuff is just happening too frequently. They're just making the big mistakes. And it's just... it's just something that is very frustrating. Jamal Adams missed a big I don't want to get on Jamal Adams too much because he's a really important part of this defense. And I'll tell you, it was a scary moment when he went down in the second half, because Adams has been a guy who's been really somebody who probably doesn't get enough credit for the season he's had. He's had a really nice year. But he missed a big tackle. He missed a tackle on Trey Burton. He had a chance to finish off Burton. So, you know, that's just – it's just the little things like that where you have an opportunity. Even the Buster screenplay, which – was Chicago's second touchdown. And I go back and forth watching that play, and I'll probably go back and forth as I rewatch it, because it was a really nice throw by Mitch Trubisky. It was one of the few plays Trubisky made in this game. But screen did not locate the ball. So, you know, you go back, and I just come away from this game feeling like, and I know that the perception in the media is going to be much more positive than mine. And I don't want to make it out like the Jets lost. This is not like that Thursday night loss in Cleveland where they should have won the game. But this was a game that was there for the taking. And I did not come away from this contest feeling like the Bears won simply because they outplayed the Jets. I came away from this game feeling in many ways like the Jets beat themselves. That's what I feel like. There were too many big mistakes and big spots. And I understand, like, you, these are human beings. They're not going to be perfect. But I just come away very frustrated because I really felt like the Jets, you never really felt like the Bears were totally outclassing the Jets. And again, some of it goes back to the quarterback. I mean, the Chicago Bears quarterback was not that good in this game, and he missed some open throws. And that's why, even at the half, I wasn't feeling like the defense was playing that great. But the door was left open for the Jets, and they just did not take it. That's just really what happened in this game. We are here on Locked On Jets breaking down the defeat at Chicago. The Jets lose week 8, 24-10 to the Bears. They fall to 3-5 on the season. Now, if you want some positive notes, I mean, there were a few. Nathan Shepard flashed near the end of the third quarter. It was really the first time I've noticed Nathan Shepard, the third-round pick this year. He was a big name. He was a guy who was having a really nice training camp, really nice preseason. And since the regular season started, he's kind of disappeared. So, you know, near the end of the third quarter, he was in on a couple big plays. So it's nice to see him flash a little bit. And as much as you may get on him because he has not followed up his big preseason and big training camp with much of a regular season, he was a third-round pick, and third-round picks typically don't contribute. Typically for third-round picks, you just want to see them flash at some point during the season. So, you know, Nathan Shepard did a little bit. Chris Herndon, another touchdown, you know, guy who's playing some pretty good football now. He's starting to come along, and, you know, by next year, he's not there yet. I mean, but he's a, you know, he's a fourth-round rookie. He's coming off a big injury last year. Still kind of learning the game, but he, every week he's starting to flash, you know, and he got off to a really rough start this year. So very positive development to see something like that. And also, you know, what I liked is the one touchdown drive the Jets had, it was extended by a penalty. The Bears took a dumb penalty. I love that. You know, you hear about the World Series. You're watching the World Series. You hear about how some announcer will say that the Red Sox always make you pay for giving them an extra out. Well, you know, the opponent gives you an extra down, you make them pay. So the Jets did that. So, you know, there were a few. I come away with it, but I don't come away with that many positives. And, you know, I go back, and this is just the thing that is really frustrating. I guess we have to end on a negative because the Jets lost this game, and I think ultimately the feelings around this game are negative for this team because it was a loss, because they did so many things poorly in this game. It's because, I did not see a whole lot of bright spots in this game, to be honest with you, and we'll move on to next week. But, you know, every time Todd Bowles gives you hope, he goes for it on an early 4th-and-1 to extend the drive, you know, not in a great spot on the field, but I love the aggressiveness. And then he follows it up, and he doesn't use his timeouts aggressively enough when the Jets are going to have a chance to get the ball back, put together a drive near the end of the first half. And then, I mean, how many times have we seen it? Down 14, more than halfway through the fourth quarter, 4th down, he punts the ball. And the Jets don't get it back till there's 2 minutes left and they have no timeout. So you, not that the Jets have a great shot of winning the game, but, you know, you're not, again, like I said at the top with in the bait segment, is the coach doing everything he can to maximize his team's chances of winning the game? If you aren't going for it on 4th down, down 14 in the fourth quarter, the answer is clearly no. And they're just little things I watch when I see the coaching on this team, whether it's, I mean, that pouch Sam Darnold has that keep his hands, throw that thing out. Because he's giving away the snap count with that thing. Because when he's got his hands in there, it's fine. You want to have your hands in there in the huddle. Okay, that's fine. Keep your hands warm in the huddle. But once the team's lined up, he can't have his hands in there. He can't have his hands in there keeping them warm because you're giving away the snap count. You're giving away that you're not snapping the ball. And some coach up in the press box needs to notice that your rookie quarterback's doing. Look, this is a rookie quarterback. I'm not going to get on Sam over that. Some coach needs to do. It's just these little things that I see from the coaching staff. And I understand the Jets are not that talented. And I understand they're dealing. They've been snake. Look, I don't think there's any question this team's been snake bitten with injuries this year, but I just see thing after thing with this team, the way it's coached. And it's frustrating because I feel like this team, this is not a Super Bowl team, but I just come away feeling like this team should be in a better place right now. Even with their lack of talent, and the lack of talent is an issue. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I'm sure on other shows, we'll talk about the failures of the front office, but I just came away from this feeling like, yeah, if this team was better coached, this game was winnable. That's just my view on that. And, you know, you may disagree, and I'm sure a lot of you will. And I know, look, I know CBS was talking about it. A lot of people in the media are going to disagree, and they'll think that the Jets played a tough game in this. And they, I mean, to some extent, maybe that's true, but I did not come away feeling like the Jets forced the Bears to do everything they had to do to win this game. I feel like the Jets, in many ways, gave the Bears an easier game than they needed to. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, and please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Hope your week gets off to a great start, and we'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.